The Case of the Not-So-Nice Nurse, A Nancy Clue Mystery, by Mabel Manny. Chapter 1. A Tragic Blunder. Cherry Aimless cut an attractive figure as she dashed through the crowded lobby of Seattle General Hospital, her striking blue royal nurse's cape sailing behind her, and her crisp white cap perched precariously on rumpled curls. Her rosy cheeks were even more flushed than usual, for she had run the entire 10 blocks from the children's free clinic so as not to be late for the night shift on the women's psychiatric ward. On clinic days, the head nurse usually forgave a late entrance, but there would be no forgiving smile awaiting for her now, for head nurse Margaret Marstad, the strictest nurse in the hospital, would be Cherry's boss tonight. Cherry was in a cheery mood, for tomorrow morning she would begin a well-deserved vacation. "In just a few days, I'll be in sunny San Francisco," she murmured happily, while she was certainly looking forward to visiting her family in Pleasantville, Idaho for a few days first. She had to admit she was more excited about going to San Francisco to see her beloved Aunt Gertrude. Although they had kept up a regular correspondence over the last 5 years, the two hadn't seen each other since Cherry was a child. "And I haven't had a chance to thank her properly for this nifty graduation present," Cherry thought, looking fondly at the sturdy nurse's watch Aunt Gert had sent her when she graduated from Stenser Nursing School, class of 1957. "Cheaper," she cried, realizing the time. "In another minute, I'll be late." Cherry took a shortcut through the hospital newsstand and in her haste caught the toe of her freshly polished white nurse's shoe on a crack in the linoleum floor. She landed face first on a bundle of newspapers. "Attorney Carson Clue murdered. Longtime housekeeper admits dastardly deed," screamed the headline. "I'll take a paper," she cried, searching in the pocket of her white uniform for a dime. "I'm sorry, miss. I have to count the papers before selling any," the newsstand operator explained. The frantic look on Cherry's face convinced him to hurry, and soon she was racing towards the elevator, grasping a copy of the Seattle Post. For once, Cherry was thankful that the creaky old elevator was its usual slow self, for it gave her a chance to read. River Depths, Illinois. Well-known attorney Carson Clue was found shot through the heart today in the kitchen of his exclusive River Depths home. Although he was a successful attorney in his own right, Carson Clue was perhaps best known as the father of girl detective Nancy Clue, whose exploits are familiar to newspaper readers everywhere. In a dramatic call to police, longtime housekeeper Hannah Gruhl confessed that she had murdered the popular attorney during a domestic quarrel. "I told that man time and time again to keep out of my kitchen while I was baking," Miss Gruhl declared, as she was led away in handcuffs to the Illinois State Prison for Women. According to Miss Gruhl, at the time of the shooting, Nancy Clue was camping with her closest chums Bess Marvel and George Fay at nearby Lake Merriman. After making a short statement to the police, the young detective headed west to stay with relatives. Cherry read the story over and over as the elevator crept to the 6th floor. She could scarcely believe it. Nancy Clue's father dead at the hands of a kindly housekeeper, Hannah Gruhl? It just couldn't be. Why, just last night, while relaxing in the probation nurse's lounge, Cherry had read an article about the Clues and their beloved housekeeper, Hannah. The latest issue of Girls' Life magazine had arrived that day in a care package from her mother, along with dusting powder, cologne, and iced raisin cookies. Her roommate, Nurse Casey Case, a perky brunette with a winning smile, stopped by the lounge to sample one of Mrs. Aimless's prize-winning cookies. She kidded Cherry when she caught her carefully tearing a photo of Nancy from the magazine. "Is that for your shrine?" she joked. Cherry had blushed. It was no secret that she practically worshipped Nancy Clue. More than anything, Cherry wanted to be courageous and forthright like Nancy. Although they were as different as two girls could be, Nancy with her immaculately groomed Titian hair, charm school education with fearless nose for danger, and Cherry, a small-town girl with a hopeless mop of unruly curls and a shy manner. She nonetheless felt that, given the right opportunity, they could become fast friends. Nancy's done so much good for so many. If only there was something I could do to help her, she cried aloud, forgetting for a moment that she was in a crowded elevator. She clapped a hand over her mouth and blushed a deep crimson. Thankfully, the elevator had arrived at her floor. She tucked the newspaper under her arm and rushed from the crowded elevator and smack into head nurse Margaret Marstad. "Oh, I'm so sorry," Cherry cried, reaching out a hand to help the handsome head nurse regain her balance. Nurse Marstad haughtily straightened her cap and got a grip on her armload of medical charts. "Nurse Aimless, you're late," she said curtly, as she stepped into the vacancy Cherry had left in an elevator. "And fix your cap. It's all askew," she added as the doors closed in front of her frowning face. Cherry brushed aside hot tears and raced past the main nurse's station and down the long, brightly lit corridor that led to the women's psychiatric ward. She straightened her cap and raced through the oak double doors, opening onto the ward. Nurse Penny Perkins was waiting for Cherry at the far end of the open 30-bed ward. She smiled when she saw her frazzled friend. "Am I ever glad to see you," said Penny. "I told Marstad that the clinic called and said there was an emergency and you would be late. But you know how strict she is. Why, the way she acts, we might as well be in the army." Cherry nodded. It was no secret that Nurse Marstad was a tough taskmaster. She was just about to tell Nurse Perkins about her run-in with Nurse Marstad, but her coworker wasn't finished yet. "It's been so quiet all day. Marstad asked me to go help out an emergency. Call her at the office if you need help," she added, as she threw a regulation nurse's sweater over her strong shoulders and began gathering up her things. Cherry shuddered at the thought of admitting to Nurse Marstad that she needed help. When Cherry had met the capable yet stern head nurse a year ago at her interview for the coveted job of general hospital nurse, she had resolved to be the best probation nurse ever. More than anything, she wanted Nurse Marstad to like her. "Now I'm in trouble, because I stopped to get the evening paper," she thought, unfolding the newspaper she had tucked under her arm, intending to show the headline to Nurse Perkins. "Guess what happened?" she cried. Before she could continue, the emergency light flashed twice. "That's my call," Nurse Perkins said gaily, sweeping past Cherry and heading toward the elevator. She waved back at Cherry. "I should be back in a couple hours. Tell me then." While Cherry was most anxious to discuss the murder of Carson Clue, she realized she had a job to do and got on with the business of nursing. It was almost time for evening medications, and Cherry busied herself preparing the pills and injections that would help her patient get a good night's sleep. Half hour later, her task was completed, and she found her attention wandering back to the newspaper story. Try as she might, she just couldn't stop thinking about the murder. Something just didn't seem right. "Hannah's been like a mother to me," Nancy had been quoted in the Girl's Life article. "How strange," Cherry mused, "that helpful Hannah, who had been given a lifetime of care to Mr. Clue and his motherless daughter, should turn out to be a murderess." She wished she had time to examine the newspaper article. Perhaps there was something she had missed, something that would explain the odd turn of events. Like her heroine, Cherry had earned a reputation as a detective. In her first month at General Hospital, she had solved the murder of the vanishing Valium. Using cool logic and keen sleuthing, she was able to follow a trail to Dr. Kildare and expose him as a thief who supported a lavish lifestyle by selling dangerous drugs pilfered from the hospital. Now her detective skills were being put to good use on the psychiatric ward, where hospital authorities had twice called upon her to help identify amnesia victims. The drama of hospital life suited Cherry, who was happiest when she was helping others. The recent nursing school graduate found her work at the big city hospital exciting after a lifetime in the sleepy farm town of Pleasantville, Idaho. And she especially loved a good mystery. She had already helped to identify one amnesia victim, now home and safe with her family. But try as she might, she wasn't getting any closer to identifying the other amnesiac, tagged Jane Doe number 313 by hospital authorities, but nicknamed Lana by the nurses because of her striking resemblance to the beautiful blonde movie star, Lana Turner. There certainly weren't many clues to go on, Cherry thought as she reviewed the case. Lana had appeared at the hospital 2 days before, carrying a paper sack containing a small black plastic comb, a brand new tube of red lipstick, and a hardcover book to which she seemed unnaturally attached. No identification papers were found, and her simple, well-made clothes had no labels. Lovely Lana quickly became the newest attraction on the ward, charming everyone with her delightful manners and sweet disposition. Even gruff head nurse Marstead had succumbed to her charms and had been seen at Lana's bedside with a box of chocolates in her hand. So far, Cherry had been frustrated in her attempts to draw anything personal out of Lana, who had remained vague during their two late-night conversations. Cherry sighed. Despite all of her efforts, she had been unable to find even one piece of the puzzle. "Tonight I'll try extra hard to dig up a clue," she vowed, as she carried the tray of medication through the ward. She smiled as she surveyed the attractive room, painted a cheery salmon and filled with flowers. Many nurses disliked the night shift and would have let the long hours dampen their spirits, but not Cherry. She loved nursing under any conditions, and she especially liked working at the overcrowded old city hospital, where the patients really seemed to need her. As a young girl, she had often dreamt of a night just like tonight, dreamt of being in charge of a ward of patients, ready to soothe their pain using her gentle bedside manner in combination with the most up-to-date medical equipment available. Cherry patted her little cap and smoothed her hair into place. What a picture she made with her starched white uniform ironed just so and her crisp white hat pinned at a jaunty angle atop shiny black curls. Suddenly, the squeak of rubber-soled nurse's shoes on shiny linoleum woke Cherry from her daydream. "Sleeping on the job, Nurse Aimless?" Nurse Marstead asked, her arched eyebrows framing steely gray eyes. Cherry was too afraid to answer. She shook so hard the pills on her tray rattled. "Well, nurse?" Nurse Marstead asked, tapping her pencil against the little black book she held in her hand. Everyone knew Nurse Marstead kept a record of every infraction and referred to the book when deciding upon promotions and salary increases. Cherry had worked and prayed all year for a promotion from probation nurse to permanent staff, and so far her record was spotless. But today she had been caught off guard twice. Surely Nurse Marstead wouldn't be so cruel as to blemish her record over these slight transgressions, or would she? Cherry looked at the stern nurse through teary eyes. Nurse Marstead was scribbling furiously in her book. Hadn't her mother warned her to get her head out of the clouds before something terrible happened? "Oh, why didn't I listen to my mother?" Cherry groaned to herself. "And on the eve of my big vacation." Cherry took a few deep, calming breaths and got down to business of nursing, under the austere gaze of Nurse Marstead. She was relieved to see that her first patient was Miss Lillian B., a quiet, elderly woman suffering from a strange sleeping sickness. Cherry took a deep breath and began preparing Miss B.'s injection. She blushed as she readied the syringe. Nurse Marstead's attention made her nervous, and she clumsily dropped the needle. She hastily prepared a fresh injection, hoping the head nurse hadn't noticed, but she had noticed and was making another notation in her black book. Cherry blushed a deep crimson, her red cheeks highlighting her fair coloring and sparkling green eyes. She bit her ruby lips as she prepared a sterile needle. Giving injections was difficult for her, as she hated to cause the slightest bit of pain to any living creature, even if it was for their own good. Just as she was moistening a cotton pad with antiseptic, a voice called for Nurse Marstead over the intercom, with a brusque, "Carry on, nurse." Nurse Marstead left the ward. Cherry breathed a deep sigh of relief. With Nurse Marstead gone, Cherry competently injected Miss B., plumped her pillow, and gave her a relaxing shoulder rub. She was glad the head nurse had been called away. Cherry was an effective and kind nurse, as her patients would willingly testify, but there was something about Nurse Marstead that always unnerved her. She finished soothing Miss B. and moved to her next patient. It was Lana, the amnesia victim. Although there was nothing physically wrong with Lana, Cherry was sorely tempted to massage her too. Tonight, her patient seemed unusually sad. She was sitting on the edge of her narrow hospital cot, clutching her book, with a faraway look in her eye. It took her a moment to realize Cherry was at her side. "I bet she's upset because she's been 2 whole days and we haven't made any progress on her case," Cherry guessed, vowing to double her efforts to identify Lana. Perhaps there was something she'd overlooked, she thought, surveying Lana with keen eyes. Perhaps there's a clue in the book, Cherry wondered. She remembered that Nurse Marstead had admitted Lana to the ward. She's so thorough, she surely would have checked, Cherry realized. Suddenly an idea came to her. Lana must be married. She's wearing a gold band. I wonder if anyone has looked inside her ring. If it's engraved, it could be our first clue. I must see that ring. Oh, what a pretty ring, Cherry remarked, trying to keep her tone casual. Like it? Lana asked, polishing it on her hospital-issue cotton smock. Somehow even the cotton gown looked like a couture dress on lovely Lana. My honey gave it to me, she said, looking wistful. Much to Cherry's delight, Lana seemed genuinely interested in showing off her ring. Oh, your hands are so tiny. I bet that ring wouldn't fit on my pinky, Cherry exclaimed, hoping to get her hands on it. It worked. Lana took off her ring and handed it to Cherry. Try it on. I bet your hands aren't as big as you think. Cherry slipped the ring on her finger, then took it off. She pretended to admire its smooth surface as she looked for an inscription. She found what she was looking for. From GA to CM, with love, 5249. Reading the inscription in tiny cursive writing. For some reason, the thought of Lana being married upset her. What kind of man would this woman marry? She could see why any man would want to marry Lana, for she was not only pretty, she was charming, friendly, and witty as well. Why, if I were a man, I'd marry her, Cherry thought, blushing furiously at the idea. She realized Lana was looking at her with a penetrating gaze that made Cherry feel all flustered. Why, it's as if she can read my mind, Cherry thought, feeling a flush rush up her cheek. She hurriedly handed back the ring and gave Lana a little paper cup containing 2 pink pills. Thank you for showing me your lovely ring, she said. Perhaps when I finish dispensing medication, we can have a little talk, and maybe you'll remember something about your husband, Cherry said. Lana laughed merrily at this suggestion, squeezed Cherry's hand, and said she'd be delighted to have a nice chat. I have a feeling I'll really get somewhere tonight, Cherry thought happily as she went about her tasks. I'm sure in no time at all Lana will be home safe and sound. She hummed happily as she resumed her rounds, and her cheerful mood seemed to lift the spirits of her patients. In addition to giving out pills, Cherry always took a moment at each woman's bedside to ask about her progress. She became so engrossed in one patient's tell that it was almost an hour before she finished. When she returned to Lana's bedside, she was surprised to see a nun sitting on the edge of the bed. "Why, sister, I didn't see you come in," Cherry exclaimed. The nun pulled her veil closer around her face and said nothing. Cherry wasn't accustomed to seeing nuns visiting during the day. Cherry wasn't accustomed to seeing nuns visiting during the night shift, and if the truth be known, the quiet creature in head-to-toe black always made her a little nervous. The nun spoke to Lana in a low, hushed voice. Cherry could tell she wanted privacy. But Lana seemed to welcome the intrusion and cheerfully called Cherry to her side. "Nurse Aimless, I have that book you loaned me," Lana said, reaching under her pillow. She held out the book she had been guarding so carefully the last couple of days and smiled. There was a queer, animated tone in her voice, one Cherry hadn't heard before. She seemed like an actress playing a part. "You were right, it's a great book. Especially chapter 15. Oh, boy. I laughed so hard I cried," Lana continued merrily. Cherry stumbled for an answer. She hadn't loaned this book to Lana. Was she playing a trick? Cherry wondered, or was her amnesia getting worse? Cherry decided the best thing to do was play along and took the book from Lana. "Thank you for returning it so promptly," Cherry said. "There are others waiting to read it. I'm glad you enjoyed it." Something was very queer here. "I'd better contact Dr. Spreck immediately," Cherry thought. But before she had a chance to telephone the doctor, she heard a shout. "Nurse! Nurse!" came a muffled cry from outside the ward. Why, it sounded like someone was calling for help. Cherry raced out of the room and in the direction of the shouts, but by the time she reached the end of the long corridor, all was quiet. Strangely quiet. A priest sat calmly at the nurse's station, reading a tattered magazine. He smiled at Cherry as she caught her breath. "Goodness, my child, where's the fire? You don't want to break a leg and end up a patient at your own hospital, do you?" he chuckled in an affable manner. "I thought I heard a cry for help," she explained. "Nonsense, I didn't hear a thing," the priest responded. But, Cherry stammered, her rosy cheeks flushed, her heart beating a mile a minute. "But what, dear?" he asked, squinting at Cherry through thick, black-framed glasses. Cherry looked around the quiet room. Obviously nothing had happened. Feeling foolish, she blushed some more. "I've got to get more sleep. Now I'm hearing things," she said to no one in particular, for the priest had gone back to his magazine and the corridor was deserted. Cherry strode briskly back to the ward, knowing she had broken a strict hospital rule against leaving patients unattended. She pushed open the double doors to the ward and looked around. She was relieved to see her patients all tucked quietly in their bed. Except for Lana, who was nowhere to be seen. "Where is Lana?" Cherry asked, trying to control the alarm in her voice. But most of her patients were already fast asleep. She looked at Lana's bed. The half-eaten pork chop and glass of milk, abandoned on the pink cafeteria tray, looked so forlorn. What had happened to Lana? "I failed in my duty as nurse," Cherry thought. Nurses were forbidden to leave their wards at the understaffed city hospital, and that went double for the psychiatric ward. "Where is Lana?" she repeated. "She left with that nun," a sleepy patient yawned. Cherry was relieved to find that Lana hadn't wandered away on her own. "Maybe they went to the chapel," she mused aloud. "Who went to chapel?" a stern voice from behind her demanded to know. Cherry whirled around and found herself face to face with head nurse Margaret Marstead. She was not smiling. "What's all the commotion up here?" she asked, hands on her shapely hips. "When Cherry left the ward, Lana went away with a nun," the patient repeated. "Come to think of it, she was an awfully tall nun," she added helpfully. As soon as she heard this news, Nurse Marstead strode briskly to the telephone at the end of the room and called security. When she returned, Cherry tried to explain why she had left the ward. But before she could open her mouth, Nurse Marstead spotted the book in Cherry's hand. "What's that, nurse?" she asked crisply. In all the excitement, Cherry had forgotten about the book. She quickly explained about Lana's mix-up. "I fear her amnesia is worse, and now she's disappeared." Nurse Marstead glanced furtively at the book, cleared her throat, and looked Cherry straight in the eye. "I loaned her the book, Nurse Aimless. She simply forgot which nurse gave it to her," she said in a convincing tone. "There's no need to mention it to security when they arrive. They have enough to deal with. You will report to my office as soon as your replacement gets here." The head nurse took the book from Cherry and left. Cherry was so confused. She was sure Lana had arrived with the book. But Nurse Marstead could never lie about a thing like that. "Oh, I must have imagined the book belonged to Lana, the same way I imagined hearing a call for help." Cherry swallowing hard, fighting back tears. She knew she had made a major blunder, which could threaten her chances of joining the staff permanently. "Why, I'll surely be fired if I admit to Nurse Marstead that I'm hearing things." Nurse Mildred Mitty arrived a few minutes later to replace the despondent nurse. Cherry was relieved to see someone she knew, and it took all her willpower to keep from breaking down at the sight of her chum. The two had been fast friends since their first day at General Hospital, and they shared the same devotion to nursing and dread of head nurse Margaret Marstead. "Don't let Marstead scare you, Cherry. Why, everyone knows you're the best nurse here," comforted Mildred. We won't let her fire you. She just can't. Suddenly, the loudspeaker interrupted Nurse Mitty's soothing consolations. Nurse Aimless, report to my office immediately, Nurse Marstred's voice barked over the intercom. Cherry said goodbye to her chum and to her patients, expressing the hope that she would see them again soon as she waited for the elevator that would take her to the third floor and the head nurse's office. She thought of the years of dreaming and hard work that had brought her this far. Could it be that it was all about to end?